Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost conservative populist radio program. April is Confederate Heritage and History Month, and here at the Political Cesspool, we're doing our part to bring you the best guests and interviews to raise the public's awareness. Stand by now for another great installment of the Political Cesspool, and here's your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live installment of the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, joined in studio by Winston Smith. As you heard from the announcement there, brought to you by Art Frith, our great studio producer, this is, of course, Confederate History Month. In fact, this will be our last broadcast of Confederate History Month, only because this is the last Saturday of April. And coming up in the third hour tonight, we're going to be very honored to be rejoined once again by very noted author Michael Andrew Grissom. He's going to be on to wrap up our series on Confederate History Month for this year, 2009. Going back to a story we visited at the very top of the program, the arrest of David Duke, you know, I keep saying that this should appall everyone, because this could happen to anyone if we allow it to happen to people such as David Duke. Now, I understand that a lot of people would say, I say a lot of people, not a lot of people listening to this show, but perhaps the uninformed American, of which obviously there are plenty if you look at the last election results. But they would say, well, you know, that's okay because he's a neo-Nazi. You know, I read in the paper he's a neo-Nazi, so it's okay, you know, if they throw him in jail, you know, because I'm a Christian. I don't really believe in all that. Let me first of all tell you, David Duke is not a neo-Nazi. You know, if David Duke is a neo-Nazi, then Thomas Jefferson was a neo-Nazi. Then I'm a neo-Nazi. Then basically everyone who goes to a Christian church is a neo-Nazi, because a neo-Nazi, a racist, a bigot, these are all just Marxist constructs concocted by the media. They're just shut-up words to stifle common-sense thinking. And don't believe for a second that just because the media denounces people like David Duke and yours truly that you know, average working-class Americans do. They might make poor decisions at the ballot box, but I guarantee you the America First stand we take on the issues on this program are echoed still by a great number, if not the majority, of European Americans in this country. So when you hear these Marxist shut-up words like neo-Nazi and racist and this, that, and the other, take it with a grain of salt. And don't let that skew your opinion of a person, because 9 times out of 10, it is absolutely not true. Now, that is not to say that there aren't so-called neo-Nazis out there, people who advocate violence, the jackbooted thug types of which we don't associate. They may be out there. I've never met one, but let's just say they are. Okay, that's one thing. I still don't think they should be thrown in jail. But listen, I'm telling you, yeah, Miss California is a neo-Nazi. I mean, did you see that? And again, just the double standards, the disconnect that there is. This was a young lady who was asked, what kind of question is this to be asked on the age on the stage by some transvestite, Perez Hilton, asked on the stage what she thought of gay marriage? He asked her what her thoughts were, and she reacted honestly by saying, as politely as she could, that while she doesn't hate, I'm paraphrasing here, while she doesn't hate gay people, she just doesn't think that it's natural or healthy or so, you know, something along those lines. And she came in second place, runner up in Miss America, and that cost her the crown, because Perez Hilton, this transvestite, this sodomite anarchist, said that he would never let the crown go to someone who is as politically unsavvy as she, as if you're unsavvy to oppose sodomy. To stand up for Christian principles. And he went out in the media and called her a potpourri of four-letter words. But that's all fine and well. These are the double standards that we are faced with every day. But Winston, with that being said, your thoughts, and we'll just leave it at that with this segment for the night, your thoughts on the whole David Duke situation and these hypocrisies that we're talking about?
Dan, you were talking about the notions of neo-Nazism there, and you mentioned that people like to try to link the ideas of neo-Nazism and the political right, to try to link those two ideas when they are mutually exclusive. Nazism means national socialism, And socialism is not an organ of the right. It is an organ of the left. So to say that, the political right is somehow neo-Nazism, it's a contradiction of terms, and it shows the ignorance of anybody who would try to use such incongruous terms. It's like Judeo-Christian. They don't mix. They can't be taken together. You brought up the Miss America issue, and I applaud that young lady. You know, she knew as soon as that flaming sodomite, that disgusting reprobate, that piece of filth, Perez Hilton, as soon as he began asking her that question.
She knew what was the socially acceptable answer, at least in the eyes of the media. She knew how she was supposed to respond to that.
Yes. And, you know, Perez Hilton will be the first to say that anyone who doesn't agree with him is probably some neo-Nazi who wants to send every fag and every Jew to some concentration camp, when he is the one who behaved like a Nazi would behave. He is the one who said, oh, you don't agree with me politically, therefore I'm going to destroy your future. I'm going to do to you the equivalent of destroying your business. I'm going to throw rocks through your windows. I'm going to make you a pariah because you disagree with me. And yet this guy, this disgusting piece of garbage, Perez Hilton, who has made his living acting like a OCD junior high school girl, he is allowed to get away with this simply because he's a flaming sodomite.
Well, and this is, I mean, you look at the character defamation. I mean, this was, by all accounts, a very well brought up young lady, and she has to endure the same sort of treatment, well, like David Duke would have to endure. Now, if it can happen to her, it can happen to anyone. And, you know, and she could have very well been arrested in some of these European countries, just like David Duke was.
She certainly could have, and if that piece of filth, Perez Hilton, had his perverted way, she probably would be. And this guy, his claim to fame is he gets on his silly-ass website and he draws pictures on photographs. He draws stupid pictures on photographs trying to embarrass people who don't have the ability, or he doesn't give them the opportunity to counter his idiocy. Not that anybody would want to try to counter his idiocy. Frankly, just having him on my mind is offensive to me, and I feel my stomach
wretch. I can tell you're animated here, Winston. Maybe I should have brought that up, but I was just trying to draw the parallel once again. You know, I tell you, average America is not very far removed from David Duke. That's the point here. I mean, you know, an average Americans like Miss California should rally in the defense of David Duke, because if he can be jailed for his political beliefs, I guarantee you we are not far away, not far away at all, if this hate crimes legislation passes, where Christian beliefs such as the most, you know, benign beliefs that sodomy is not natural could lead to imprisonment. That's how close we are. And that's why we must rally behind everyone who is a victim of this Orwellian hate crimes laws.
You're exactly right, James, and there are very strong parallels between what happened to Miss America and what happened to David Duke. Dr. Duke was simply in the Czech Republic, having been invited to go there and give a series of lectures, and then he was enjoying a nice dinner when the restaurant at which he was eating was stormed by 30 police officers in military assault gear.
And he hadn't even given his speech yet. That's another thing that he told me today. Was that he had not even spoken yet. So it wasn't as if, as they alleged in the article, he was there speaking about all of these things that it's illegal to speak about in Europe. He had not even given his address yet.
You don't have to look very hard to discern who the string pullers are behind that puppet show in Prague. And it's hypocritical that Dr. Duke was arrested and jailed, accused of seeking the suppression of human rights while he was exercising his most basic human right of free speech. You see the hypocrisy in that, James?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what the whole show's about tonight. Absolutely, yeah. I do. You know, and I'll give Duke another piece of credit. You know, I was talking to him a couple of hours ago, and I was asking him how he's doing. More importantly than inviting him on this program, I was just offering him my support as a friend, because I think that's what brothers should do. And he said, you know, really, that's the risk that comes with the job, and he's prepared to suffer and languish in prison should it come to that, if that's what it takes, if that's the price he has to pay for standing up for the beliefs of average Americans. And you got to hand it to a guy that realizes what he's up against and what he may face. It would be so much easier. You know, he would have been governor of Louisiana if he had just played the game. He came within a fingernail of winning anyway. And he knows he could very well go to jail for speaking out about these things, even though in that situation he hadn't spoken out about anything that was illegal, even by the Orwellian laws that exist in Europe. But he said, listen, I might go to jail, but that's part of it. That's the sacrifice I'm willing to make.
Don't go away.
We'll be back right after this with more.
Guys, we'll be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood, baby. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. I meant to mention at the very top of the show, and there was just so much going on tonight, and still is so much going on tonight in the political cesspool, that I failed to mention it. But as you've probably detected by now, we have gotten ISDN back reinstalled here at our home studio in Memphis for the last couple of weeks. We had had some problems with that. And so my audio should be sounding good. Winston is not with me in studio tonight. He's calling in on a cell phone. So if he's a little scratchy, you know, hey, the political cesspool at half strength is better than any other radio show at 100%. You know that. I know that. Let's just make the best of it. And we'll try to work through everything before next week. We're all laborers in the cause, as it were, and we're doing the best we can. But Winston, I know we had some trouble connecting with you via Skype during the first hour, which is why you're on your cell phone now, but I'm happy to have you. And I know also that there were some things you wanted to bring to our audience's attention this evening. And with that being said, I want to turn it over to you for a couple of thoughts.
Before I get to those items, James, I wanted to say a couple of other things. First, to end our discussion of Dr. Duke's experience there, I'll say this. Dr. David Duke has the unassailable credibility that belongs to a very elite group of men who have paid the price. Now, the SPLC's blog, they've already jumped all over this, and they're making hay of it, as they should. I mean, it's, they are part and parcel of the people who orchestrated that attack on Dr. David Duke. But, you know, you'll never hear of the SPLC having a conference or anything like that because they don't have conferences. They know they wouldn't be able to get any respectable politicians, if there is such a thing as a respectable politician, to show up at the thing. Anybody who knows anything at all about the SPLC wants nothing to do with it, at least not in the open.
Well, you know, they've been thoroughly discredited by the Baltimore Sun as well as some other newspapers. And, of course, but you're right, they attack everybody who does any good. They attack this radio program at least on a monthly basis, if not more. And we love it. You know, we're appreciative of that fact because it shows that not only we're doing something right, we're doing something right in a very noticeable way. But continue on, please, Winston.
Speaking of the filth at the SPLC, folks, if you pick up this week's copy of Newsweek magazine, you'll see an article about hate groups in America. And I am mentioned in that article because I was at the Faith and Freedom Conference in Zinc, Arkansas, earlier this month. And I talked with the author of the story. Her name was she was a nice lady named Eve Conant. But she wrote a story about so-called hate groups, and it turned out pretty much as you would expect a story about so-called hate groups in Newsweek to be. I talked to her, and the only quote that she took from me was I said that I think the focus of white nationalism now is not so much on what blacks, what Africans in America have done to us as white people, but we're now focused on our own culture and our own issues. And the Newsweek article t- took its cue from, of course, the SPLC. And, you know, Pastor Rob, Thomas Rob, at the conference, he put it into perspective. He said, now, how many of us out there would go home some night and write up a glowing blurb, a flyer or something, about how great it is to be a white person and how great white nationalism is? How many of us would write that up and then take it into work the next day and pass it out? Well, the answer is none of us would do that because we'd be afraid of losing our jobs. And he said, that's exactly the position that these reporters are in. They don't dare write anything nice about us because they will lose their jobs. It's just the awful position they're in. But anyhow, if you just go to Newsweek magazine, you can see it on the Internet. There's that article. And yours truly, Winston Smith, is quoted in there. And I'm just seeing if Ms. Conant, the author of the story, maintains her career after that, because, you know, James killed Paul Azan's career. And I expect Ms. Conant, she's a very nice lady, I anticipate that she will have a long and prosperous career with Newsweek magazine, because Winston Smith doesn't kill careers.
Hey, you know, Winston, for 2 years now, every time the reference is made to my appearances on CNN, you know, I never get tired of hearing the fact that I may have killed Paul Azan's career, but nevertheless, the lady who interviewed you for Newsweek is quite lucky that I wasn't at that conference, because it would be over for her by now. But
yeah, she'd already be filling out unemployment compensation papers.
The guy who wrote the article about us in the New York Times, or interviewed me for the New York Times, was lucky not to have used our quotes, or he would be gone.
Yeah,
but, you know, that's the cesspool. We get interviewed by Newsweek. We get interviewed by the New York Times. We get interviewed by CNN because we make news. You know, we have big people on this show. We talk about the issues candidly and frankly, and we talk about them with people like Pat Buchanan, with elected officials, with people with PhDs, with authors, entertainers, members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, Ted Nugent was on this show. We've had so many people on this show, and it just goes to show that all of this fantastic, sensational writing about hate groups, well, I can understand. Listen, if I wasn't politically savvy, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with the hate group, people that are doing things illegal. But that's not who they're talking about. They're not talking about people like NACA. That's a hate group. People who go around and call other people terrorists and try to intimidate them to make bad business decisions and try to ruin their creditor credibility and reputation. That's a terrorist group. That's a hate group. That's not who we are. But then again, you know, you got to understand that when you see the left call someone a hate group or a hater or a racist, you basically need to just, as we've written on the blog, they have really different definitions: racist, neo-Nazi, hater, xenophobe, homophobe, anti-Semite, so on and so forth. That basically just means conservative or paleo-conservative or Christian. That's pretty much what it translates to when you read these stories. So just basically take all those Marxist construct words, those buzzwords, and replace them with paleo-conservative or Christian, and you'll know what they're really talking about and who they're really talking about.
Indeed. Well, moving along, James, I have a story here from the small town of Hardin, Montana, and I found this afternoon. There's a small town called Hardin in Montana, and this town has a prison facility that can take up to 460 prisoners, and it's empty. And so this small town has offered to take the Guantanamo Bay prisoners once that facility is shut down in January in accordance with Barack Hussein Obama's directive. And the reasons that this town gives for being willing to take these prisoners are purely economic. They have that facility there, and they can put it to use, and they can provide about 100 people with jobs, and it's purely economic. Now, that's stupid. If the town of Hardin, Montana, takes those Muslims into that prison facility, then that will require more Muslims to see to their peculiar needs. They're going to have to bring in other non-prisoner Muslims, such as chaplains and food service personnel, etc., people who can see to the peculiar needs of these Muslims. The town will have to host an extra prison Muslim community. And when that begins to happen, it won't be long before those white residents are groaning under all the problems that come with diversity. And it won't be long after that that the town will be taken over by Muslims, and the white people there will be outnumbered. We see it happening.
Hey, Winston, Winston, don't mean to interrupt you. We got 10 seconds to break. Just put the brakes on it right there. We'll pick it up when we come back in the political cesspool this evening. And by the way, if you're a fan of our show, and we know we've got a lot of them, go to our website. Support us online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We could use your contributions. We'll be back with more right after this.
Political cesspool guys, we'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show. As I was mentioning right before the last break, if you are a listener of this show, don't forget to check out our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. There you can read more about our points of views on our blog, sign up for the email list, contribute financially, contact us, and much, much more. ThePoliticalCesspool.org, our official internet headquarters. Winston, you were carrying on about a small town right before the last segment ended. Continue on, please, sir.
I don't carry on. I comment.
Yeah, carrying on, that's kind of like old school Southern talk for, you know, rambling. Yeah. But okay. Continue with your astute political commentary.
As I was saying, this small town of Hardin, Montana, has offered to take the Muslim prisoners that are now housed at the Guantanamo Bay facility, because they have this jail that is sitting empty, and they figure they can bring in these Muslim prisoners and provide jobs for their community. But as I said, those Muslim prisoners are going to need an extra prison Muslim community to support them, because they're not going to want to eat food prepared by white Americans. They're not going to want anything to do with white chaplains. They're going to want Muslim chaplains. They're going to want Muslim food preparers. They're going to want to be supported as Muslims. And when that happens, this town will have to bring in those people to support those prisoners. And when that begins to happen, it won't be long before the white residents of Hardin, Montana, are groaning under all the problems that come with diversity, and it won't be long after that that the town will be majority Muslim. Now, the people of Hardin, Montana, have the naivete of people who, one, have never had to deal closely with other races and other cultures, and two, are willfully ignorant of the lessons of history as recent as this afternoon. And that lesson has been exquisitely and painfully taught us. That lesson is that you do not bring in foreigners to prop up your economy. Because when you do, that is the beginning of the end of your town, your city, your state, your country.
Well, yeah, and if you don't believe it, if they don't believe it, they should look no further than the United Kingdom and most of Scandinavia, those European countries who have probably more experience with Muslim diversity than we do here in the United States. And I'm telling you, it's quite literally, their cities are burning to the ground. And so shall Hardin burn if they don't learn from the mistake. You know, how many times are we going to continue to make the same mistakes and continue to suffer the same repercussions until we understand that nothing liberals do ever work? This multiculturalism experiment, this diversity experiment, benefits everyone except Americans.
Well, James, they don't have to look to Europe for the example. They can look right here in America. The illegal immigration problem in the United States today is the direct result of bringing in foreigners to provide labor.
Well, there's no doubt about that. No, absolutely, and they bring their own set of problems, to be sure. But specifically confining it to the Muslim diversity rather than the Hispanic and illegal alien diversity, you know, obviously Europe has a long track record of suffrage I guess. But no matter, you know, you take whatever third world minority you want. Different subsets have different problems that they bring. But, you know, the bottom line is there's going to be problems in Harden because of this. You can bet your bottom dollar.
They had better learn the lesson that is right in front of their eyes. They better rethink that decision, because when they start bringing in these Muslim prisoners, they had better resign themselves to the fact that within a few years, there's going to be a minaret right in the middle of the town blaring out the call to prayer five times a day.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's just sad, you know, because, you know, these small towns seem like such an oasis to us. And then you know what's going to be befalling these people. You want to help them. You want to shake them awake and have them stop it. But it's just like a nightmare that you can see coming a mile away. But it's just going to come no matter what you do. They're not, you know, they'll be living in a smaller version of Memphis or Atlanta as soon as this takes place.
Mm-hmm. Or they'll be living in a smaller version of Detroit. Detroit has, I think, the largest Muslim community in America today. All right, moving on. By the way, I'll end up by saying, people of Hardin, Montana, please rethink that. It's a mistake. You know, find something else to do with that prison. You do not want to bring in foreigners. If you do, you might as well kiss your town goodbye, because they will overtake it, period. End of story. All right, we are all still have fresh in our minds the ordeal with the Somali pirates over there, in which our gallant Navy SEALs took care of once the on-scene commanders figured out that they had the authority on the scene rather than Obama.
I'm really surprised that they were allowed to even take action against the Somalian pirates, since they were non-white. I mean, I'm surprised that taking action against them was not considered racist and bigoted.
Well, you know, I was waiting for Al Sharpton to make such a statement, and he sort of danced around the edges of that. We've all heard that audio tape of him doing his radio show where he called them the Volunteer Coast Guard.
And yeah, undocumented crew members.
Yeah. Well, that is still fresh in our minds. And one of the gentlemen who was there at the beginning, a gentleman named Shane Murphy, he was the second in command aboard that American merchant ship that was seized by the pirates. Well, he doesn't like what Rush Limbaugh has said about that incident. And I'm not defending Rush Limbaugh. I'm pointing out the stupidity of this man, Mr. Shane Murphy. And apparently, Rush Limbaugh on his show had pointed out the obvious racial aspect of that incident. I mean, it was obvious. They were black. And this guy, Shane Murphy, who was the second in command on that ship, he called Limbaugh's comments hate speech. Hate speech, because Rush Limbaugh called those pirates black teenagers. I don't know what this guy's problem is. Perhaps he didn't notice that the people that he was fighting off of his ship were black. Perhaps he didn't look out and see the video of the people who were holding his skipper hostage, and he didn't notice that they had black skin clinging tightly to their bones. I don't know if this guy is colorblind or what, but he's certainly an idiot. Because that was entirely a racial issue there.
So the bigger issue isn't that guy could have very easily been killed by these savages, but he's more concerned not with the lives of his crewmen and that they miraculously survived, but that Limbaugh pointed out the fact that these were black teenagers, in fact.
Yeah, and you know, James, those Somalis...
Would you be offended if they had been white and Rush Limbaugh said they were seized by white teenagers? I mean, honestly, of course not.
No.
You know, it's just, keep on. I mean, this is just so dumb. Keep on.
This guy, I don't know if he's just looking forward to the book deal, if he's looking to get on Oprah or something by ignoring the obvious racial characterization of this, but those were blacks. who had targeted this ship. They were blacks, and they were behaving exactly as they behave. They were being exactly what they are. They were being violent thugs. They were being dangerous people. And if you think there's any difference between those people, those pirates, and your average thug in the walking the streets of Memphis, you've got another thing coming, folks, because that's what they do. And that for that man to be offended at the obvious racial element of that attack proves that he is just an idiot. He shouldn't be second in command of a ship.
Well, I tell you, he might be smarter than either of us because he will be able to I guarantee you, he is going to be coddled now by the media, and he'll probably come out of this thing for saying that simple statement, that simple ignorant statement. He'll probably come out of this with more money than the captain and everyone else. Movie deals, book deals, you name it. I mean, this is the guy that they're going to show because he is, in fact, politically correct. So that's the guy they're going to go to for the interviews. You wait and see.
Yeah. Well, James, you had some issues you wanted to talk about. Let's move on to those.
Yeah, I got a few issues we are going to talk about, but we're going to have to talk about them in a couple of minutes after we hear from our loving sponsors here on Liberty News Radio Network. A few more issues to bring to your attention this evening before we head into the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast, in which we celebrate the Confederacy. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Every time I hear California Dreamin', I think of the movie Congo, the movie about the talking gorilla. Anyway, Winston, yeah, you're right. I know you only have a few more minutes with us, and then the third hour you're going to take off, and Bill Rowland's going to join us here live to interview Michael Andrew Grissom for our Confederate History Month series finale for this year. But one of the things I wanted to just, I guess, revisit, I don't guess it's anything we haven't talked about tonight, but you know, hosting this show has been a blessing and a curse, and I don't think there's any more accurate way to say it. I mean, this show has seen a lot of success. We've got a great listening audience. We've been able to make headlines, and as we've made mention of many times before, be interviewed in places like CNN, befriend people like Pat Buchanan, and all of the things that come with doing a high-profile radio program, but also there are the attacks and all of that that we have to endure as well. And the fact that living on the front lines subjects you to a lot of things that you might be more insulated, you might be more insulated from if you were, you know, just enamored in the culture of bread and circus like so many of our citizens are these days. But I tell you what's really getting my goat, Winston, is the fact that, you know, it is soon going to be so unfashionable to be a Christian and just to have the basic Christian belief that homosexuality is a sin and that it is unnatural. We were talking about Miss California and the fact that she lost her crown for saying something that still most Americans would obviously agree with. And you look around, you look at, you know, places like in Europe, even here in America. I mean, there's organizations, we were talking about NACA and what they're able to get away with, but you got organizations like here in Memphis, Life Choices. Life Choices. I mean, what do you think that is? Well, what it actually is an abortion mill. Life Choices is the business you go to when you want to murder your baby. And then you look in Europe. Abortion's legal there. You can murder your baby if you want to. Prostitution's legal. You can do that if you want to. But if you say that 5,999,999 Jews died in the gas camps, you go to jail. Because we all know it was 6 million. One less, you go to jail. You're denying the Holocaust. You're denying the extent of Nazi genocide. You go to jail for that. And now, again, here in America, you look, and we were talking about what hate and bigotry are said to mean in the mainstream and what they really are. But, you know, now it's hate and bigotry to believe that men should only marry women. just as it's hate and bigotry to believe that whites should only marry whites. Which explains why, I guess, Winston, why Dr. Laura Schlesinger, Rick Warren, and a whole bunch of other quote-unquote traditional values types are jumping ship faster than a cruise liner full of homosexuals who just found out that Anita Bryant's going to be headlining the evening's entertainment. I mean, this is what really annoys me more than anything, Winston, is the fact that the so-called leaders of the Christian right are the first ones lining up to be at the homosexual king's table. And apparently anti-gay rhetoric has become, or pro-family rhetoric, I should say, has become so unfashionable that even on, those on the right are now stepping away from it. We've talked extensively that Rick Warren appeared on CNN and apologized to his quote-unquote gay friends for making comments in support of California's Proposition 8. He says he never once gave an endorsement of it, which, of course, is a lie. Dr. Lauren Schlesinger, who back just 9 years ago in the year 2000 called homosexuality a biological error, which it is, she now said in an interview just last week that it is beautiful and healthy. Winston, nothing makes me more mad than someone who claims to be a Christian, claims to be a conservative advocate, but is behaving like this now because they see the writing on the wall. They know that gay marriage, sodomite marriage, is soon going to be the law in all 50 states, the so-called law in all 50 states, and now they're lining up to not be offensive. I cannot stand that kind of stuff, and that's why people are damn lucky to have shows like this and networks like Liberty News Radio who are still going to preach the truth until God himself calls us home. But Winston, what do you make of people like Rick Warren and Laura Schlesinger who are backing away from public comments they have made over their career, over their lifetimes, in order to fit in with the new ruling elite?
You're exactly right, James. You have pegged it precisely. That is what is happening. They see that that the biblical positions that they once held are soon going to be at least unfashionable and probably illegal. But they've got big businesses to run. You know, Dr. Laura is a multi-million-dollar industry herself, and of course, Rick Warren and every other mega church, they are businesses just like your local grocer or your local butcher. And they are going to do whatever they have to protect their bottom line. And if it means selling out, they will do it. Of course, Rick, as you mentioned, Rick Warren is just lying through his teeth when he said he never got an endorsement of Proposition 8 in California. He did. But he reads the tea leaves, too, and he knows that could come back to bite him. But he's got to keep his lifestyle going. He's got to keep his tax-exempt status for his mega church business there. You know, Keith Alexander is always telling me that the ministry is the one industry in which your only inventory is hot air, and that's what the ministry has become. It's become family industries. It's become family businesses. They pass them down from generation to generation. And that's what these people are doing. They have sold out for 30 pieces of silver. We've seen it before. It's going to happen again. But you know, James, there will be a remnant of ministers and churches who will not bow their knee before the gods of political correctness.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, Winston, you're right. There will be that remnant that carries on the tradition until they die, just as obviously back in the 60s, we never thought that it would be accepted by the church, interracial marriage would be accepted within the church. I think a lot of these old pastors in these small churches in these conservative towns will hold the line, but their replacements won't. Their replacements won't. I guarantee you in 40 years, homosexual marriage will be just as accepted as interracial marriage is today. Maybe in 10 years.
You're much more optimistic than I am. I'd give it 10 years, James.
Yeah, 10, 20 years maybe. Yeah, absolutely. But see, this is what I'm talking about. I mean, you got people like Dr. Laura. I mean, is there any better evidence out there that we completely lost a culture war when you have people like Dr. Laura, who was supposedly one of our advocates, saying that in an interview just last week that she doesn't oppose homosexual adoption, homosexual couples from adopting kids, just as long as they're in a monogamous relationship, that is beautiful and healthy if they're in a monogamous relationship, as if two men together raising a kid is just as good, if not better, than a husband and a wife raising a family. This is what people like Dr. Laura are saying. Could you even imagine what the homosexual and the sodomite advocates are saying? If this is what our quote unquote advocates are saying, you know, what could the sodomite advocates say that could top that? Nothing. I mean, they're in agreement.
You're right, James. They are in agreement. And I don't know what the likes of Dr. Laura and Rick Warren think they're going to get for their betrayal. They're never going to be fully accepted. What will probably happen is their businesses and their institutions will have introduced into them sodomites in positions of leadership, and it won't be long before Rick Warren's church has a faggot ministry. It won't be long before his pulpit will be filled on occasion by a queer. Perhaps Perez Hilton will be pleased to fill Rick Warren's pulpit occasionally.
Well, Winston, we've only got a couple of minutes left until the bottom of the hour, and of course there's more to come in the third hour of tonight's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, so stay with us. But before we go to that, I want to try to quickly work in a caller. Tom from Pennsylvania, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
Tom from Pennsylvania. I want to make one comment about, you said homosexuality was a quirk or something of nature. How was that you put that?
Well, Dr. Laura Schlesinger in 2000 said that it was a biological error, quote unquote, but she's now saying it's natural and healthy.
Okay, I disagree with her. There is a book out there that can be bought by Dr. Dead Doctors Don't Lie is the name of the book. And the doctor, I can't think of his name, it eludes me at this moment, said that of the 5,000 autopsies that he had done, that every time it was a homosexual or a gay, whatever, the part of the brain that controls sexual behavior was underdeveloped or retarded, if you will.
Okay.
I can't even think of it. Joel Wallach is his name. Dead Doctors Don't Lie, and he's been condemned by the regular medical industry. But he did make that statement in his book that they are retarded, basically.
But no, listen, I think that would be pretty close to a biological error or at least a biological deficiency. Tom, I don't mean to cut you off. I really appreciate you bringing that to our attention. That's a very good hypothesis as to what could be the problem there. But we only have about 15 seconds to our next break, and we got to go for a six-minute burst of national news. So we'll be back with you in a little bit. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening to the Political Cesspool. We really appreciate your comment. That being said, Winston, thanks for serving with me this evening. I'll talk to you next week. But stay tuned, everyone else, for the third hour. Bill Rowland will be coming into the studio to co-host. We'll be back.
Installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.